Hey everybody, Jeff from NSJS Radio here, and I'm here to tell you that if you're looking for the latest and greatest in tennis shoes, you need to go to iShop11.com. That's right, iShop11.com. They're going to have the latest and greatest in tennis shoes for you and some exclusive fits. Go to iShop11.com. You can also follow them on Instagram at iShop11. You want to spell that out, iShopELEVEN, iShop11.com. Tell them Jeff from No Sleep Just Sports Radio sent you. This is No Sleep Just Sports Radio. What's up, everybody? It's Jeff Stevens. It's No Sleep Just Sports Radio. It's Thursday, May 9th. Some gloomy day out here in Oakland, weather-wise and sports-wise, I would say, as far as basketball goes. With that game last night with the Warriors, really, really good game. Both teams fought hard, fought to the end. I actually kind of expected it to be a blowout after seeing the Warriors go on that 17-0 run in the second quarter. But Houston's tough team, good team. They fought back, fought their way back into that game. Unfortunately, they fell a little short even after the injury to KD. We'll jump into that in a little bit. I want to talk about the game a little bit first, though. Just overall, I thought that Houston came out and they were really sluggish at the beginning of the game. Didn't seem like they had much of a sense of urgency. The Warriors came out playing like they knew they had to win this game. You didn't really want to go back to Houston after losing three straight, having to win two straight. That's just a tough task for anybody. I know it's the Warriors, but like I said, I feel like that's a tough task for any team in the league, let alone the Warriors. And I want to go ahead and talk just a little bit about James Harden in that game. I don't want to say he's necessarily coming up short, because you look at the numbers and he's still putting up good numbers. But after KD got injured, and there was a stretch in that fourth quarter where he shot the ball one time in like 8 or 9 minutes. And you can say that's coaching or whatever, but just the way they play, I kind of feel like that's a little bit on him. You got to shoot, dude. Like, you are that team. I mean, CP3 hasn't really been showing up at all this series. So I kind of feel like it's on James Harden to carry them to the promised land. I mean, I don't understand why, especially with KD out, like why you wouldn't at least try to take over that game even more than you already have. Just as James Harden, I mean, he's one of the best offensive forces that we've seen in the past 10, 15 years. So I don't really, again, I don't understand why he wouldn't take over the game late in the game without KD on the floor. I mean, that's your chance right there. As the Houston Rockets, that's your chance to take that series. That's your chance to put yourself in a position of advantage. You know, like you've already come back. You've evened up the series. It's an even series, but this is your chance to go up in the series. Not only go up, but again, win three straight, go back to Houston and try to make the Warriors win two straight, one on your home floor. So while I feel like losing KD is definitely a big hit to the Warriors, I mean, losing your best player is going to be a big hit to any team, I also feel like the Rockets may have squandered an opportunity to take over this series with a road win and go back home with an opportunity to close this out. Again, like I said, I just kind of feel like they squandered a big opportunity there. And CP3, I don't understand exactly what's going on with this guy. He hasn't been performing very well at all. I mean, we can go down the stats. You look at game one, 17 points, 3 assists, or 4 assists and 3 rebounds. Game two, 18, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. Game three, 14, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. 13, 8 rebounds and 5 assists for game four. And then game five last night, only 11 points, 6 rebounds and 6 assists. He's not being aggressive enough, in my opinion. When James Harden leaves the floor, or just to even give James Harden a little break while he's on the floor, he simply is not being aggressive enough. He's not really taking enough shots, in my opinion. it's kind of James Harden or bust right now for them. And don't get me wrong, he's obviously been doing his part in Harden as they are in a game six now. But I definitely feel like CP3 could be doing a better job offensively. Now, defensively, he's been doing pretty good. He's definitely been doing some playing some pretty good defense on Steph. He's, what, 3 steals game one, 3 steals game two, 2 last night, and 1 in the other 2 games. But like I said, he's just been playing pretty good defense. But offensively, I feel like he has to be a lot more aggressive. I feel like they need a lot more from him if they're going to not only win this series, but compete for a championship. That's the ultimate goal, regardless of who they play, you know. So I definitely feel like he has to be better for them to excel to the next level. Even without KD, the Warriors still got really good shooters. They're still gonna put up points. So I still need to see more from him. I mean, in my opinion, he's got to score 20 to 25 points a game for them to win. I know that may not necessarily be who he is at the core, but he has the ability to do so. And I feel like he definitely has to put this team over the edge to win a championship. I mean, if they beat the Warriors in this series, that means they're going to have to play either Portland or Denver, which I kind of feel like they can get past either one of those teams. But then that means you're probably going to have to play either Milwaukee or the Raptors. And that's just that. Again, you're going to need more from CP3 if you actually plan on winning a championship with this current roster this season. And then with just to get into the KD injury a little bit, that's scary, man. Just to, when I saw it, it was reminiscent of what I saw with Kobe Bryant. Just how he went up for a jump shot, came down, nobody touched him or anything, but he looked back as if he thought maybe somebody had kicked him or something like that. And he started to hold his lower leg. And like I said, that's reminiscent of that Kobe injury when he actually looked behind him and asked Harrison Barnes, "Did you kick me?" You know, so it was just scary to see him walk off the court. But just how that affects the Warriors, it's going to be really big in the fact that they really need Steph to step up now. Like, Steph has not been having a good playoff run at all. I've been really disappointed in what I've seen from him so far. And even with the points that he put up last night, he got hot in the second half a little bit. But overall, just this playoffs, he hasn't been very good. And even after the KD injury, when he started to put up those points, he still put up some shots that he just looks off when he's shooting. Like he doesn't have that same confidence that he usually has. And it definitely looks like it's affecting his shot. Saw a stat that said he's shooting like 27% from three. And that's just not going to cut it. Like, don't get me wrong, it's good to see you going to the basket. It's good to see you get fouled and, you know, and ones, all that stuff's nice. But you're here to shoot threes. Like, you're here to expand the floor and knock down three-pointers. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, it's nice to see all those other things. But what sets Steph apart from everybody else in the league is his ability to shoot the three. Off the dribble, off the screen, catch and shoot, whatever it may be. His ability to shoot that three-pointer sets him apart. And when he's not hitting those, you can see it kind of brings him back down to earth a lot as far as what he can do on the court for you. And I really like what I saw from Klay as well. They're definitely going to need Klay to keep stepping it up the way he did last night. He's definitely going to have to continue to play that way. But at the same time, he's not going to be able to do it himself. Like, even if Klay does put up 30 at night, 27, whatever he had last night, you still need Steph to be Steph. And without those two, the Splash Brothers are going to have to come back together and make it work. Because without those two, I don't see how they're going to win game six or game seven. And one of the things with these new Warrior teams with KD on the roster is with him taking up that much money on the salary cap, they don't have the money to build the bench that they had at one point. And so when you lose a guy like KD, you have to put lineups like they did out there last night down the stretch. And I think it was Klay, Steph, Kevon Looney, Sean Livingston, and Draymond for a while down the stretch. And I mean, with a with the lineup like that out there, even if you switch up and put Iggy in that lineup, with the lineup like that out there, they're going to be able to help off of those guys a lot and pay a lot more attention to Steph and Klay. So it's going to be interesting to see what Steve Kerr does to switch up the lineups, see if he's able to create more spacing with the lineups, and see what he's able to do in the absence of Kevin Durant. And I mean, you got Kevin Durant and Boogie down. So, I mean, they're really getting into the nitty-gritty of their roster right now. Guys who probably wouldn't see a minute of playing time in this series or these playoffs. I mean, I don't think I've seen Andrew Bogut play much at all these playoffs, but he's going to have to get some minutes just so you can keep some of these other guys fresh down the stretch. And next, I want to talk about the Celtics and just what went wrong with this team. I mean, everybody thought that they were getting it together because they beat Indiana, myself included. It just looked like they were bringing it all together. But I guess you got to take in consideration the team they played, who that team didn't have. And even if they did have Oladipo, the caliber of that team, I still think Boston's just a lot better than them. So it was a little shocking to see them kind of just wet the bed after that game one performance that they had in Milwaukee. After that game, I kind of saw them not necessarily running off with the series, but competing and making this series at least a 6-7 game series. I didn't see them losing four straight. Kyrie's been terrible. Al Horford hasn't necessarily been very good. That entire team has just been bad. I think they lost by 30 plus the other night. And then they come out and then they don't really put up much of a fight for their season. Their season was on the line last night, and they didn't really seem to have that sense of urgency like their season was on the line. They kind of just went out there and played like it was a regular old game, and I really didn't like that. I didn't think that they were prepared very well. As far as coaching goes, I don't think that they prepared themselves very well as far as being ready to play. I just don't think that it was a very good performance for that franchise overall in that series. I mean, Brad Stevens has gotten a lot of praise over the past couple years, and my assessment of the situation is Brad Stevens does very well with teams that are expected that don't have very many expectations. Just going back, looking through his coaching career, even going back to Butler, his teams were never really expected to do much. And so when he doesn't have the expectations, his teams seem to overachieve a lot. And this is one of the first times I feel like he's been expected to win. His team was expected to be one of the best, and they really underachieve. I don't feel like he managed the egos very well. I don't feel like he did very well in finding the best lineups for this team. I feel like because they have so many good players, he felt like everybody has to get a certain amount of time, which, I mean, that really just isn't necessarily the case. I mean, I understand you want to give your guys minutes and stuff like that, but at the same time, you got to find like the best eight guys to keep this team going in a good direction. And I don't feel like he did that at all this season. I feel like he may have tried at certain times and got some good lineups going, but at the same time, those lineups on paper look good, but when you get those guys out there and they aren't performing well together, you gotta see that. And like I said, you gotta figure it out, man. And I just don't think he did. Like I said, I feel like when they have very little expectations, he overachieves a lot. But one of the first times that he does actually have expectations, his team underachieves. And I just, after all the praise he got, I didn't really feel like he took enough heat this season for the way that this team performed. Don't get me wrong. It's on the players too. Those guys got to get out there and perform. Those guys got to figure it out as well. But I also feel like Brad Stevens underachieved a lot this year with the team that he had. I mean, that you look at Boston's roster, nobody's going to argue with you when you say it's one of the best rosters in the league. But at the same time, just because you have an accumulation of talent doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to make a good team. And I mean, a couple of podcasts ago, I said Kyrie was playing like the best point guard in the league. Yeah, I take that back. That statement did not age well. He definitely has had a really rough go at it. After that first game of this series, he played really well first series and the first game of this series. But after that, it's been a really rough go for him. I think it was 8 of 22 or 7 of 22. Then he said he wasn't going to shoot like that again. Then he shot 7 or 8 of 22 again the next game. Then he's like, who cares? And then he goes out and has another bad performance with their season on the line. And I haven't liked what I saw of the body language, just as far as him saying he wants his own team and he wants to be a leader. He hasn't been responding to it very well. All the criticism that he's been getting this year and the spotlight that's been on him this year, that's the spotlight that leaders get. That's the spotlight that's the type of criticism that the best player on championship teams get. And he hasn't been responding very well to it. He's been standoffish about it with the media. I feel like he hasn't really endeared himself with the team. And a leadership thing, like, you can't go in and declare yourself the leader. Like, you can't walk in the room and tell guys, I'm your leader now. Those guys have to anoint you their leader. Those guys have to bring you into the room and tell you that you're the leader. I've always felt that way about leadership. You can't just go into somewhere and try to impose your will on people and tell them you're the leader now. I don't feel like that works in sports or just life, period. But it doesn't really bode well with me that that's the way he feels like he needs to go about this. I mean, you can go back and just look at the history of the NBA and just the best leaders in the NBA history. They're anointed. They are told that they're the leader. They don't tell people they're the leader. And I haven't been liking what I've seen from him as far as the body language and just everything about Kyrie, these past couple games has been really bad. And I think he may have played his last game in Boston. Who knows where he's going to go in free agency or if he's even going to go anywhere. But either way, I was just really disappointed with what I saw from him down the stretch of these playoffs. And hopefully he figures it out. He learns a little bit and he goes into the offseason with the right type of mindset and knows that he needs to learn more about being a leader before he can go in there and tell guys that he's their leader. And last but not least, of course, I want to get into this Raptors and 76ers series. Before I do that, though, I do want to let people know, like, we are going to touch on other sports and things like that with this podcast. It is No Sleep, Just Sports Radio, but there isn't really much going on outside the NBA playoffs right now. Something good happens in the NFL, we'll definitely talk about it here. But I definitely want to let people know that we will touch on other sports, but the NBA playoffs are the biggest thing going right now. So it's definitely the most fun for me to talk about right now. But getting into this Raptors and 76ers series, I've definitely been very impressed with what Kawhi's been able to do. It's cliche at this point, but it's Kobe-like, just the way he's been playing. I'm not going to go all Max Kellerman and say, oh, he's better than Kobe. And I'm not going to go that far. But just watching him, it reminds me of how Kobe played. Not wasting a step, making sure that he's able to get to his spot and get a good shot. He's been, like, performing out of this world, and it's been really, really fun to watch. I never thought I would see something like this from Kawhi when I first saw Kawhi play in San Antonio. You know, you always thought he was going to be a defensive stopper, but you never thought that Pop would be able to bring this out of him. And just to see him capitalize on what Pop brought out of him and become the player that he has been in Toronto has been really good. I mean, it's been really fun to watch. I'm looking at his numbers right now for the playoffs. He's averaging 31 points on 57.5% shooting, 46.5% from three, 8 rebounds and 3.5 assists. Like, that's, and a steal, you know, like, that's, those are really, really good numbers. I mean, those are like all time great numbers as far as the shooting goes. So it's been really, really fun to see him progress into the player he has. And he's been doing it this playoffs predominantly without very much help. I mean, besides Pascal Siakam, who can only do so much at this point in his career, the rest of the team hasn't really stepped up very much this playoffs. So it's been really fun to see Kawhi take over not only the first series, but this series as well. And I've been a little disappointed with what I've seen from Philly. I've been really, really disappointed in Ben Simmons. I haven't seen very much from him all series. I've been disappointed in what I've seen from Joel Embiid for most of this series. Besides that one huge game, he hasn't really been the contributor I expected him to be. Now, granted, they say he's had a lot of health problems and things like that, but I mean, you got, I don't want to hear that, man. You step on that court, you got to produce, you got to perform, you got to put up the numbers that your team needs you to put up, or what's the point of you being out there? Somebody, you know, next man up, in my opinion. But I haven't been very impressed with what I've seen from him. And Ben Simmons, I can talk about Ben Simmons for the next 10, 15 minutes. Like, I'm just so disappointed in what I've seen from him these playoffs. Well, not the majority of the playoffs, but this series in particular. He's kind of been taken out of the game. He's been playing more of a power forward center type role than the actual point guard role, simply because he cannot shoot. He refuses to shoot. I feel like at this point, I'm kind of feeling like he refuses to work at it. Like, I don't understand how you can be that talented and have absolutely no type of jumper. Like, all you got to do is add a 10, 12 footer, 13 footer, and you're going to be all good. Like, teams, it's going to add so much to your game. It's going to add so much to what your team's able to do with you on the floor. And the fact that he's so limited in the half court, and this isn't necessarily a fast-paced series, it takes him out of the game a lot. And it just, it's tough to watch. It's tough to watch now. You gotta put some of this on Brett Brown, too, though. I kind of feel like Brett Brown has been underachieving this series as well. They definitely haven't been making the proper adjustments to what they've been seeing from Toronto. I definitely feel like he hasn't been doing very much offensively. They don't really, besides their pick and roll between Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid, the offense gets really stagnant. You got guys just kind of creating for themselves if it's not a transition basket. And it, in the playoffs, that doesn't really work, especially when you don't have players who are necessarily great at getting their own shots. And when you look at the talent on this team, you think that they would be performing better, at least the talent at the top of this roster, you think that they would be performing better than what they have been so far. But I think this is another situation where the accumulation of talent doesn't necessarily make them a good team. And so they haven't necessarily been the best team and playing together. When you start staggering the minutes, you start to see some of these guys perform better because the floor is a little more open for them. They can do a little bit more of what they're good at, as opposed to kind of just standing in the corner and waiting for the ball. And so it definitely brings me to the point that I think Brett Brown may be done here. I think this team has kind of outgrown him. When you make the moves you make to compete right now, you don't really have the time for him to grow with the team that he had before. And so I'm just feeling like this may be the end for him. I'm feeling like this may be a situation where he's one of those coaches that are able to get your team, change the culture for your team and get your team to the playoffs, but he may not be necessarily be the right coach to take your team to the next level and win championships. So I think, in my honest opinion, I think this may be it for Brett Brown. I honestly don't know who's making the decisions out there. Elton Brand's the GM, but you don't really know if he's like has the final say in all these decisions. So we'll see exactly what's going to happen there. But I think if you can get a better coach in there, somebody who's going to be able to take this team to the next level. Now, I don't really have the list of available coaches in front of me right now. There may not be a coach available right now that you think would be an upgrade from Brett Brown, but I kind of feel like this team has outgrown him at this point, and he isn't able to put all this talent in the position to be a good team. And with that, we're going to go ahead and call it a wrap for the day, everybody. I appreciate everybody tuning in. This is No Sleep, Just Sports Radio. I am Jeff Stevens, editor-in-chief of NoSleepJustSports.com. Go ahead and check us out. I haven't been posting much content this week. I've been a little busy, but I'm definitely going to be posting more content this week. I appreciate everybody tuning in to the radio show, website, all that. I appreciate all the support. Go ahead and follow us on Twitter at NSJS Media. Follow us on Instagram at NSJS TV. And go ahead and check out our sponsors, iShop11.com and Anchor.fm. And again, we appreciate everybody tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.
This is No Sleep, Just Sports Radio.